thank you so much for introducing me. And I sat there and I said, did I write that? The way it was delivered made it much more wonderful. Thank you. And I'm not from Colorado.
Oh,
I'm from Brooks County, Georgia.
Brooks, oh, I thought Colorado, sorry.
down there where the gnats are and the flies and mosquitoes. Yeah, South Georgia. But what I would like to do today is continue a conversation that we were having a month ago. Was it just a month ago? Wow. Okay. Again, I just want to say that it is a privilege to be able to speak to a group. I spend most of the hours of my day in the office, one-on-one with clients, and I can touch their lives. I can speak the words of kindness and love, but it's a one-on-one situation. And as Greg Braden has proven, when we can get to multitudes is when we can make a change where we live, where we go, every time we meet someone. And just as that what you read a few minutes ago, how we touch each other's lives. We can be assholes or we can be kindness and giving. And we may have just a moment of passing by someone to give them an open heart. And it's our choices that we make moment to moment how we want to interact with this next moment. But what I'm discovering in studying Greg Braden is that from all that has come before us, we have access to that information. And all of that that has come before us in developing our DNA, and what, if you read this, if you read his works and listen to his tapes, to discover that we were cut off and it has affected our DNA, but we can change that. We can change that today. The last time I was here, we talked about prayer. Be the prayer, bring the peace. And that is still what I'm believing in. And in this prayer, we talked about how many different types of prayer that we have. We had four, and then we lost one of them, which was our fifth one. And that's what these talks are about, and what Greg Braden is speaking of in his works, is we have the four that we grew up with, a ritualistic type prayer. I lay me down to sleep, my soul to God, my soul to keep, whatever. And our thankfulness prayers. God is great. God is good. Thank you. Let's eat. And then we have petitionary. And that is, I'm in a tight spot, God. If you'll just get me through this, I promise I'll go to church at least for the next month. And then supplication. I am broke. Help me. Help me find the money to pay for my next month's rent. These two, petitionary and supplication. Then meditative. We just experienced a wonderful meditation. And this is where many people reside, is in their meditation. And they become a walking meditation. And I want us to go a step further than a walking meditation. And then there's also the one called the free conversation, which is we're in our cars, We're driving to work. We're coming home from work. We're going this place or that. And we're just having a running conversation with what we call God. And you may call it any other entity you would like. It can be yourself. But then we have this last mode. And the last time I was here, we talked about the gift of the blessing. How many of you have used the gift of the blessing? Anybody? One, two. In the gift of the blessing, it's easy when you're driving on the road and you see a critter smushed in the road. This one is a no-brainer. And it is, I bless. Not God bless. You know, somebody would walk by you and say, God bless you. And you go and say, thanks. I'm God. I did bless me. So I bless that critter who has experienced pain. And we got to go a step further. I bless the person who caused that pain. And one more step further. I bless everyone else who has to view this critter's pain. Now that's an easy one, isn't it? Because it's a critter. What gets hard is when that person who walks by you in the grocery store and grabs the cart that you were going to take. And you have this charge in your belly. And you go, I bless that person who just grabbed my car. I bless me because I perceive that I have been persecuted. And I bless everyone who's had to view that incident and view me. So we've got these, we can take this, I bless, this scenario, and then it can get very convoluted, as we talked about the last time, when it involves close family friends, close people that we work with, and all of a sudden it becomes my perception, my concept, and I'm putting a perception upon this other person as well. And so working with the easy one first and getting yourself calm with that, and then moving into the second level, which is on the right now plane of somebody bumps you as you're walking in a crowd. Then you can start working on interpersonal relationships and even yourself, because we do have long conversations with ourselves, back and forth. So we can bless even ourselves in our persecution to ourselves. Now let's talk today. We're going to review a little bit again that prayer was, it has become, and even our sciences have begun to do some experimenting with this, to recognize that prayer is powerful. It is a spiritual vibratory technology that resides in our DNA. And as hard as they have tried back in 335 AD to break us from that connection, we still, you people right here are witnesses that we still have it in our DNA, that we are not going to be disconnected from one another, from the Mother Earth, from people outside this room, from the universe, because we are connected to it all. We grew up in a world of separation. We had people of color on this side of town, and we had the white folks on this side of town. We even had a railroad track. Some poor folks lived on this side, richer folks lived on this side. This is separation. But we, in this group here, have brought all that back together. There is no separation. And so recognizing that fact, in this spiritual vibratory technology, we're going to take three parts of our bodies to look at. The emotional side, that charge when something happens. And it might be a charge of a lightning bolt of love that you see somebody and you go, wow, look at that energy. And that's a charge right here. Those are easy to deal with. It's a charge when there's been somebody who has affronted you that isn't fun to deal with. And that is the emotion that is felt in the body. That is something that you actually feel right here around the belly button. And then from that, we label it. We want to call that charge something, either positive or negative, judging what it is. And then there's the feeling. And all three of these are coming together very closely together. So we've got the charge. We've got identifying it or labeling it. Because you may not be identifying it as it really is, but we have labeled it. And then we have the feeling. Now, what if we could take each one of those charges and transform them and put them in concentric circles, and we can come up with peace. Before we react to the charge and before we label it, take the energy out of the charge and put it back inside of us, that it's us who's dealing with this. That person's already gone on by. And they're not left with what I'm dealing with. So it's about me. So that is just a regrouping of what we talked about in the last. And so I hope that you will go from here today and again continue to practice the blessing, the gift of the blessing. But today I want to talk about what in 335 AD that was tried to be pulled from our DNA. And that was putting God up here, and you know who down there, and we're stuck in the middle, connecting the two, walking between the two worlds, and connect, letting all of that power run through us. And let's take that power back and recognize that if you want to have a God, and if it makes you comfortable to have a God, that's great. If it makes you comfortable to have a ritualistic prayer, use it. It keeps you centered. But to become the prayer, means that you don't walk out of it. You don't get up from the table after you've eaten. You don't leave this building and go to something else. It is with you. It is in your DNA. And have you had an experience where you've been in the woods, and it always happens to me in the woods, and that's why I live here, is that I one day I was out with the dogs playing, and I was tossing the ball, and it was in the fall, and the leaves were falling. And all of a sudden, I heard this crackling and crackling sound. Have you ever heard the snowfall? You think snow is so light, it doesn't make sound. But when it's in the woods, there's no sound except for the tinkling of the snowfall. Well, I heard this same sound, and I looked around. It was blue sky, sunshine, beautiful fall day. I said, where's this sound coming from? And all of a sudden, I looked up, and the leaves, it was like they all gave way at the same time and were falling. And they were tinkling against each other as they fell to the ground. And then on top of the other leaves, they tinkled when they hit. It was the most beautiful music I had ever heard. And I just stood there. The dogs were going, you know, the ball, throw, throw. I just stood there listening to that tinkling. And it was the day of the falling of the leaves. And I looked it up, and it's not the same day every year. It's just when the leaves have the multiple power of releasing all about the same time. And it can be different in different parts of the woods. But it just happened. This year, I was out there every day waiting for the falling of the leaves. But I didn't hear it because it probably happened at another time of day. And I wasn't there. But when you can hear those times of magic, let them be in you forever. Now, in this prayer, there was an example given, and I think you've probably heard it before, where Greg met this Native American, and they had this area time where it was just hot, no rain, the ground was dry as could be. So they went up to the medicine wheel near to where this young man lived. And they walked and walked and walked, and they finally got there. And he took his shoes off, and he walked over to the medicine wheel. And the young Native American stood there. And it was about, I don't know, 2-5 minutes. And then he put his arms down, put his shoes back on, and says, okay, I'm ready to go. And Greg says, I thought we were going to have a prayer. And he says, I did. And he said, oh, I just thought we would have, he said, oh, you thought we'd have drumming or chanting or a fire or something? He said, well, yeah. And he said, no, we came up here to pray rain. Not pray for rain, but pray rain. When you put that three-letter word in front of it, that means what? You're pushing it away. That it's not there. If you want it, that means you lack it. If you're always wanting more money in your bank account, then there's nothing over there, is there? So you are being the lack rather than being the full. So in your prayer, again, we go back to this level, the feeling. So whatever it is in your life at this time, when you pray, pray that it is there. You are praying in gratitude, not in want, but you pray with gratitude because it's already there. And people go, Marianne, how in the world can you do that? I mean, there are people who are starving, people who cannot pay their rent, and how can they not pray for it? I can't answer that. I can only answer for me and what I have done since I have moved here, because I used to pray for my bank account to get full. And when I started working with massage, and I became a massage therapist, and I was, didn't think anything about it. I was lugging that table to everybody's house and setting it up, doing the massage, walking back downstairs from their houses, and going back to my car and going to the next one. And then one day I had this, and I said, what now? And it was time to open an office. And I said, I don't want to open an office. I'm doing very well slapping this table around. And I don't care. It's time to open an office. So I was driving by. I was on Highlands Road. I live out on Walnut Creek. And I was driving into town. And on the right was, I don't know if y'all remember, B and Tex Davis. Anyway, B had a little shop right there. And somebody turned my wheel and I pulled in and I walked in and I said, I introduced myself and B and I started talking. And I said, I want to rent this space. And she laughed and she said, Marianne, I have a boutique in here. I don't need you to rent this space. I said, well, call me in 3 months and I'll rent it. And she said, yeah, all right. So I went on my way. 3 months later, I get a call. And B says, you still want to rent my space? I says, I sure do. And so I went over and I rented it. And as I drove in to make the deal to rent that space, I said, all right, universe, I'm agreeing to rent this space and have an office. I don't know why, but I am doing this. But we're going to make an agreement right here on the spot before I sign on that dotted line. And that is, if I do this, I will know who sent every person who rings my phone who comes in my door. But for me, I will never, ever have to worry about my bank account again. I will never, ever have to say, I need, because it will be there. And to this day, I do have thoughts. I'll tell you, I can be a backslider. I used to be Methodist, so we can backslide and get away with it. And I can have a week where it's pretty slack, and I can say, okay, we have this deal. And in 5 minutes, I have a phone call for somebody to come in the door. And this is when you make the deal, it becomes you. When you give the prayer, it becomes you. And so I do not go through a week. And now I am jumping up and down when I don't have to see anybody. Then I have a day off. And I'm going, thank you for the gift. And that's the other aspect of it. is being grateful. Being grateful for each moment. Being grateful for the person who has bumped into you. Because they have given you an opportunity to raise the level of your human experience. I go to the commissioners' meetings each month. Now you think, Marianne, why in the world would you put yourself through that trauma every month? But it gives me an opportunity. It is a gift for me to grow. It is a gift for me to see someone else's opinion and feel it and work with that. So every time we think we're getting a slap in the face, decharge and see what that gift is. Because it is a gift. And what we choose to make with that gift makes the difference in us. And it's going to make a difference in your house, in your community, in your town, in your state, in this nation, and then it will move across the oceans to the others. It does work. And when the and as, not when, but as this critical mass, and we are part of that critical mass, becomes great enough, we will experience peace that we feel right now in this moment, sitting here across this globe. And isn't that why we're here? To be the peace. And the only way that starts is right here. And remember, in prayer, I am. I grant me. I went to AA for years. And it was God grant me the serenity. God grant me the power and the courage. And God grant me the wisdom. And I have changed that. I grant me the serenity. I, because I am all of you. We are all part of one another, and our power comes from that unity. And I hope that you will continue to get more of Greg Braden's writings and his CDs. And he has so much history. I mean, yeah, we could go all over the world and go to all these places that he's been to, but he's already been. And we can hear it and read it and understand why there was a disconnect and why we are reconnecting and recognizing our peace and that our power isn't up here or down here. Thank you all so much.
Did you want to play that or no?
Oh, I did. Sorry. I got so caught up. We're going to end with a piece from Greg Braden. It is the 8-track on the Lost Mode of Prayer. And he says it way more eloquently than I do.
1,700 years ago, huge portions of our most ancient heritage were relegated to the esoteric traditions, the mystery schools, and the sacred orders of their time. This occurred in the year 325 AD. In the year 325 AD, Constantine put together a council became known as the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century. And during that time, this council recommended that the redundant, mystical, loosely organized body of information that we now know as our Western Bible, that that body of information be made more concise. So the council sifted through all of this information, these many books and the texts. Some of them were not even bound. Some of them were just loose leaf collections on papyrus rolls. They discovered that some appeared so mystical that they didn't understand them, and they assumed that if they didn't, no one else in the future ever would, so they took them out. They assumed that some of the information was so empowering to the people of that time that it really didn't serve them, so they were removed. At least 25 books were taken from our biblical texts. We'll explore these in just a few moments. By the recommendation of this council, additionally, 20 other supporting documents. Now, these weren't necessarily biblical texts. They were references that the biblical text would bring in every once in a while. So at least 45 books that I know of were taken from our history, and the ones that were left were rearranged and condensed into what we today call our Western biblical text. Among the books that were lost from our biblical texts, the Gospel of the Birth of Mary. What a fascinating book. Now it has been recovered. It has been translated and is available in Western texts now. The Gospel of the Birth of Mary shows a story of the mother of Jesus of Nazareth and her mother. It shows that Mary, Jesus' mother, her mother was 81 years old when she gave birth to Mary, and that she'd been barren all of her life. And that both Mary's mother and Mary were schooled in the esoteric traditions of the Essenes, of which Jesus of Nazareth also became a master in the Essene traditions. The infancy of the life of Jesus. This is a fascinating book detailing a young prophet in the early years of his life coming to terms with the powers and the abilities that he's come into this world to explore. And what we're reminded of in this book is that every human comes into the world with these abilities, and that we deny them and we forget them early in our lives and live the consequences of that throughout life. The difference between us and Jesus at this time of his life is that he didn't forget. He was encouraged to develop and honor these abilities by parents who had been schooled in the traditions that supported these. The book of Nicodemus.
One other thing is an interesting read if you're interested in humor and history. There's a book called The Lamb, and it's the life of Jesus Christ according to his best friend, Biff. Check it out.
It's pretty cool.
Again, thank you guys.